As we've seen in the past few Mishnayos, if a Kohen has a Bechor, he has a firstborn animal, and the animal develops a wound, he is not allowed to slaughter the animal for its meat instead of bringing it as a korban until he confirms with an expert that it is indeed a permanent wound which would invalidate it from being bought as a korban. And as we have seen, only an expert who is recognized by the Beis Din or by the leader of the Jewish people is considered reliable enough to deem the wound a real wound. And the Mishnah tells us that Hanotel Sechor Elios Re'a Bechoros, one who takes a wage, an expert who takes payment in order to see and inspect a firstborn animal, or firstborn animals, Ein Shechtan El Piv, one is not allowed to slaughter the animal based on his ruling, because it will at least appear that he perhaps permitted the animal in order that you pay him. This arouses suspicion, and therefore it is forbidden. Elohim Kain, unless her mumche ke'ilo b'yavne. Unless he was such an expert like Ilo, who lived in Yavne, who was both a very big expert in the field of these wounds, and he was also a very pious, righteous man, who was therefore trustworthy, and people did not suspect him, shehitiru lo chachomim, that the chachomim permitted him, lios notel arboi, soros v'vei modaka, to take a payment of 4 isor coins when he would inspect a smaller animal, the shisha begasa, or 6 isor coins when he inspected a larger animal that requires more effort to inspect. He has to use more strength to hold the animal down whilst he is inspecting the animal. And the Mishnah adds, bin tomim bin balmum, he would take this payment whether he would rule that the animal was still fit to be brought as a korban, that it was not considered to be a significant wound, or whether he would rule that it did have a wound which was significant enough to invalidate it from being brought as a korban, and rather be able to be eaten as a regular meat by the kohen. In this specific scenario, the chachamim permitted it, but with 2 additional conditions. One was that they limited the amount of payment that he would be able to receive. And secondly, they said that it would not be based on the ruling which he would make. And that way people would not suspect him of permitting the firstborn animal to be slaughtered wrongly. Now this expert, Ilo, he would also spend most of his day inspecting firstborn animals. So people would clearly see that he would receive payment regardless of which decision he would make. Mishnah Vav, Hanotel Sechor Elodon, one who takes payment for judging a case between 2 people. We're not talking about a case of bribery, but rather both people who are involved in the case agree to pay the judge. Says the Mishnah, Dinon Betelim, his judge and his verdict is totally nullified. He's not considered to be a valid judge, and the Mishnah implies that not only in this case is he not considered to be a valid, fitting judge, but any judgment that he would make is not considered to be valid, and he loses his credibility as being a dayan, being a judge. It's learnt from Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Re'ei limadzi eschem chukim mishpotim kasher tzvani Hashem Elokai. See that I have taught you the laws of the Torah, just like Hashem commanded me. What does it mean, just like Hashem commanded me? The Gemara explains that it refers to the fact that he was not able to take any payment for teaching the Jewish people. And by Moshe Rabbeinu telling this to everybody, the implication is that he is giving us over a message and a law that we too should not take any payment when we teach others. And this doesn't only apply to teaching, but also to giving a ruling based on any teaching, and it's therefore forbidden to take payment for this. And as an extension of that prohibition, it is also considered to be a totally invalid judgment. Similarly, Lahoid, if somebody receives payment in order to testify as a witness about a particular case, a dusav betelin, his testimonies are nullified. And once again, the implication is that not only in this case is he not considered to be a valid witness, but that he loses his credibility even for other cases to be a witness at all. On a similar note, lahazois, if somebody takes payment in order to sprinkle the solution of Parah Aduma ashes, which is mixed with water, it's the red cow whose ashes are made into a solution in order to purify people who became impure from a dead body. Be as it may, part of that process is sprinkling the solution onto the people who became tomei, the people who became impure. And if somebody takes payment in order to carry out that procedure, it would also not work. Ulekadesh, or if he takes payment to make the solution of the paraduma ashes with water. Meimav meima ora, we view the water as cave water, meaning it's as if it was water which did not come from a natural spring. And the water for this solution must come from a natural spring. And the Mishnah is essentially saying that it's totally invalid. The Ephra Ephra Makle, we look at the ashes as if it's just regular burnt ashes, which have no halachic significance with the ability to purify people. Now, if in any of the cases mentioned in this Mishnah, Imhoya Koyein, what happens if the one who was the judge or the witness, or who carried out one of these procedures, if he was a Koyein, and in order to judge or to carry out the procedure which he did, the Tim'ohu Mitrumasai, it required that he would become Tomei from being able to eat Truma. Truma is a portion of the produce which is given to Koyanim, and it has sanctity to it, and it is forbidden to eat it when one is Tomei. Impure. Now, Truma is worth less in the market than Chulin. Chulin is the name for regular non-sanctified produce, and the reason is quite simple, because only Koyanim are able to eat Truma. So there is a far lower demand in the market for Truma, and as such, it is cheaper. Now, as a result of this Koyan becoming Tomei in order to do that which he did, he now will be able to only eat non-sanctified foods until he manages to purify himself. The question of the Mishnah is whether such a person is able to receive payment and compensation from those who wanted to pay him. The Mishnah says he can, ma'achilai u'mashkai, they can provide him with food and drink, v'sochai, and oil for rubbing on his body. The point is, since this is not direct payment for the act of judging or testifying, etc., that he did, rather they are compensating him for something that they caused him to lose out on, this is not included in the prohibition of receiving payment for such things. And on a similar note, Vimaya Zokain, if he was an old person and they wanted him to come and judge a case for them, and he had to travel, and there are travel expenses, the Mishnah says, Markiva Lachamor, they can pay in order to bring him on a donkey. Because once again, this is not considered to be that they are paying him for the judging, rather they are paying to allow him to come and judge, or to inspect the firstborn, etc. And in addition, they are also able to actually give him wages like a worker. Now, what does this mean? This is referring to a poel botel. And that is, we calculate how much this person, let's say, for example, he had a job for which he would receive a relatively high wage, and that job required quite a bit of effort. And in relation to coming to judge this case, or to testify, or to inspect the firstborns, etc., that requires a far lower degree of effort. Now, we calculate how much such a person who has such an occupation which requires more effort, and it gives him a higher wage, how much he would be prepared to receive of a lower wage in order to temporarily do a job which requires less effort, such as this. And that he is able to receive in payment for what he is doing, because this is not considered to be payment for the actual judging that he's doing. Rather, it's considered to be compensation for that which he would have got had he done his regular job. And once again, this is not included in the prohibition of receiving payment for performing these mitzvahs, which were mentioned earlier on in the Mishnah. Mishnah Zayin, we're going to learn in the next perek that if a kohen intentionally gives his firstborn animal a wound, so that he'll be able to eat it himself, he won't need to bring it as a korban, midrabbanon, it is forbidden for him to then slaughter it based on that wound which he gave intentionally. The Mishnah says, Hechoshed al habechoris, one who is suspected regarding firstborns. One explanation of this is that he is a Kohen who is suspected of intentionally giving his firstborn animals a wound. Alternatively, we're talking about somebody who is suspected of selling firstborn animals in the market and pretending that it's a regular non-sanctified animal. Somebody who buys it might come to work the animal or to shear it, which is forbidden even with a firstborn which has a wound. The Mishnah says, "Ein loichem menu b'sar tzvoim." It's forbidden to buy from such a person even the meat of deers, since it resembles the meat of calves. So in the same way as it's obviously forbidden to buy from him animals which could themselves be firstborns, in case he's pretending that it's not a firstborn, or in case he gave it a wound intentionally, and so it's still forbidden to be eaten as a regular animal, as regular non-sanctified meat. It is also forbidden to buy from him the meat of a deer, because it is very similar to the meat of a calf, which could indeed be a firstborn. One is also not allowed to buy from him animal hides, which have not been tanned and smoothened, in case they came from an animal which was a firstborn. And it's forbidden to benefit from the hides if it became wounded intentionally. Now, if the hides have been processed already, then it's actually permitted to buy it from such a person. And the reason for this is because such a person will never keep the hides with him for too long. He's afraid that his actions might be uncovered and the Chachomim might confiscate that which he is dealing with. And therefore he tries to get rid of these things as soon as possible. So if we see that he's kept these animal hides with him for so long that he's processed them and tanned them, then he's no longer suspected and it would be permitted to buy such animal hides from him. Rabbi Eliezer says, Leichem menu oresh on the kevah, it's permitted to buy from him animal hides which are recognizably from a female animal. Of course, a female animal cannot have the sanctity of a firstborn. However, according to the Tanakhama, this is forbidden in case this person who is suspected might change the features of his animal hides of a firstborn male so that it will appear as if it came from a female animal. However, Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned about that, and since the features of a hide of a female animal are naturally different to that of a male animal, one is permitted to buy the hides of such an animal. It is forbidden to buy from such a person who is suspected regarding firstborn animals. It's forbidden to buy from him wool, which has been bleached and is still a bit dirty, or the Gemara explains the Mishnah as if it had been written melubon mitzoyi, that it's bleached from being dirty. Since the process of bleaching it does not require a lot of effort or time, the suspicion still exists that perhaps this person is selling him wool which came from a firstborn and is therefore forbidden to benefit from. However, it is permitted to buy from him wool which has already been spun into threads or been made into items of clothing or pieces of cloth, since this is a procedure which takes more time and effort to complete. It is safe to assume that if the seller has gone through that process, then he's not afraid of being caught or anything, and that gives us a reason not to suspect him, and therefore it is permitted to buy such wool from this person. Mishnah Ches, the next couple of Mishnahs go slightly sidetracked to discuss different people who are suspected of violating certain laws, and whether one is permitted to buy things from them. Hechoshda l'shvias, one who is suspected of violating the laws of Shemitah. Once every 7 years, it's forbidden to work the land in Eretz Yisrael. And as well as that, one needs to leave his fields open for anybody to come and take any produce which does grow by itself in those fields. An additional law regarding Shemitah is that it is forbidden to do business with produce which grew during the Shemitah year. So the Mishnah says, Achosh l'ashvias, one who is suspected of violating the laws of Shemitah, ein loichim imenu pishton, it is forbidden to buy flax from him. And the same applies to any produce which could possibly have grown during the Shemitah year. The Mishnah uses the example of flax because it's not as obvious that the laws of Shemitah apply to flax. It's generally used as animal food. However, since it is fit for human food, the laws of Shemitah do apply. And the Mishnah adds, Afilu sorok, even if the flax has been combed, it's started to have been processed into something else. Since that's a small procedure, the suspicion still exists regarding this person. However, it is permitted to buy from him flax which has already been spun into thread, v'orig, or something which has been woven, even if it's been woven before the threads were spun properly. Either of these two processes, weaving or spinning the thread, are more extensive procedures which require more effort and time, and therefore if the person has gone through that procedure, he is no longer suspected, since if he really was guilty and this particular item was something which had Shemitah sanctity and restrictions, then he wouldn't have kept it for so long, and therefore he's no longer suspected, so it is permitted to buy this from him.